Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Ayin Tes. We're back a little bit on Ayin Ches Amud Beis. We have one more little discussion to have from the previous sugya, and we start with the new Mishnah today. Okay, the eighth parak of Menachos is dealt primarily with the Karban Todah. Karban Todah, again, as we've discussed already a number of times, is not fundamentally a mincha. It's really a karban, but nevertheless, though it's in Menachos, and not only in Menachos, but an entire parak of Menachos, because together with the karban Torah comes 40 loaves of bread, and those 40 loaves of bread obviously are mincha, and so consequently, they are it made it into the parak of Menachos, but it is not a self-standing mincha. It's not like the Menachos mentioned in Perek Beis of Ayikra, but it's mincha nevertheless, so it's mincha attached to a karban. Okay, and a good part of today's daf is going to be discussing the nature of that attachment, meaning that the mincha really contingent on a karban, and we'll talk later on about how the bread actually is imbued with kedusha. You don't do a kamitza on the bread of the karban todah, so how exactly do you do the kamitza? Okay, so the... So that's one thing which was going to come up later on this morning. We did the Mishnah yesterday, and we're still continuing from the Mishnah. The Mishnah on the top of Ayin Ches Amud Beis talks about shechting the karban todah while the bread is not baked, right? Or the bread is outside of the walls. And then we had a machlokas of what exactly the walls. Which walls are we talking about? The walls of the Azara or the walls of Yerushalayim, what the Gemara calls Beis Pagi. Okay, so in other words, so one of the criteria, one of the requirements of the bread is that it has to be done. Bread has to be finished, not just finished, but finished and in place. Then and only then is it going to be imbued with Kedusha. Okay, so we are in the Gemara, we are Shachdash Lo Karmu Paneh Betanur. We're in the middle of Ayin Ches Amud Beis, and we're going to talk now about the bread having to be baked. Bread needs to be baked. Menan emila detan rabbanon. The Gemara says, "We'll learn from the price." The pasuk says that you bake it, that the karban todah is brought in conjunction with chalos lechem chametz, the loaves of bread. It needs to be baked. Now the Gemara, the way the Gemara defines baking is karmu paneha. It has to have a crust formed over it. Right, you put a dough in the oven, and the first thing that goes, obviously, is going to be the surface area of the bread, because that's obviously the one which is closest to the heat. Okay, karmu paneh betanur. Yakriv karbano, zevach malam yishen alachem kadosh ela bi shchitas zevach. Good. So it needs to be baked, but it does not receive its kedusha saguf, until you shech the karban todah. Zevach todah malam yishim shacha shalol shman lo kiddush alachem. Zevach todah, right? Zevach means I shecht it. Toda means for a toda. So we gain from here that you have to shecht it lishma. You have to shecht it for the sake of the karban toda. If I shecht it shalol lishma, as we've discussed, we learn this from day one of Zvachim. When you shecht the karban shalol lishma, the karban's still good, right? You have not offended the carbon. The carbon's still a carbon. It's a detachment. You're no longer connected with that carbon. You don't get credit for that carbon. The carbon's still brought, but you don't get credit for it. What we are learning over here is that when you shecht a todah shelo lishma, so again, the carbon's fine. Carbon's going to all be offered on the mizbeach, and I would imagine it's still a shlemim, so people get to eat it. But the lechem is not imbued with kedusha. The only way the lechem is going to be imbued with kedusha is if I shecht it lishma. It has to be for the sake of a karban todah. Tana rabbanan. Okay. So far, so good. Nothing yet that's earth shattering. Yotzin b'matza na. What if you bake your matzah, but you like it really not so baked, right? Doughy. I know I use the word doughy. It's kind of funny. We're talking about matzah, right? It's hard for us to conceptualize when we talk about matzah, something being doughy. Because what we do in our tradition is that we burn our matzah, burn it to a crisp, right? And the reason why we do that is because for fear that we don't know exactly when the baking process is finished. So to be on the safe side, so we just bake it all the way through, and it's hard and crispy, and okay, we all know what matzah is. But yotzim b'matzah na, uva matzah hasuya be'ofas. But the Braisa tells us that if your matzah is underbaked, the word na means underbaked, right? We should all be familiar with that term, right? The pasuk says regarding the carbon Pesach, right? You can't eat the Karban Pesach while it's partially cooked, right? It has to be fully cooked. So the word na, nun aleph, means partially cooked. It also means please, but not here, obviously. What if the matzah is made in a pan? Right? Pan baked matzah or pan fried matzah, that also works as well. Again, hard for us to conceptualize. We put in a 5 million degree oven. Okay, not million, but you understand what I'm saying. So my matzah na, so what the Gemara now wants to know, just give me a definition. What does that mean, matzah na? So I'm ready here, I'm a shmol kol she porsav ein chitin nimshach en heimenu. So here, the Gemara says, I'll give you a definition of what it means na. When you pull, when you break off a piece, and you don't see strands of dough, just kind of stretch along, right? Ein chitin nimshach en heimenu. Meaning it makes a clean break. It makes a clean break, all right? When you take a challah, I know it's not matzah, but you understand. You take a challah and you break the challah, so it breaks into two pieces. You don't see strands of dough unless it's really, all right. If it's really, really raw and doughy, you'll see it. But that's exactly the Gemara's point, that if it makes a clean break, it's cooked. That's it. It now has the definition of being cooked. In the case of matzah, obviously we don't mean cooked, we mean baked. But that's it. In other words, that's the definition of baked. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, I'm just rereading. Kol sheportzav ein chitin nimshach en heimenu. Amar Rav v'chein le'inyan lach metoda. Good. We've been talking now about matzah for Pesach. Okay. Meaning that for matzah for Pesach, there's this definition that it has to be baked, and now the definition of baked is, as long as you don't have strands, as you break off one piece from another. Okay. Same thing is true with lach metoda. So in other words, by lach metoda, we're going to say, we know that the lach metoda is only imbued with kedusha if it's baked. And with the definition that we had for baked, for matzah, for Pesach, is going to be the same definition that we're going to have for our lach metoda. So the Gemara says, pshita. Now, okay, good. It doesn't seem that earth-shattering. Meaning, we're giving the definition of baked. Why would you think they're different? So, hachalachim ksiv, hachalachim ksiv. And in fact, the Torah both calls matzah and the lach metoda lechem. Right? Matzah is called lechem oni. It's called lechem. It's bread. So ma'u detema echad amarach manasholi toparos v'hakaman deprisa damya. So the Gemara says, well, remember, by the lach metoda it has to be made in units, right? Echad. You got to give one over to the kohen. And v'hakaman deprisa damya, if it's underbaked, if it's not fully baked, you know, it's easy to fall apart. So it's kaman deprisa damya. It's like it's already segmented into pieces. Kamashman, so the chiddush is, that would work as well. Okay. So far, so good. We have now a working definition, both for matzah and Pesach, and for the lach metoda, that it has to be baked. Baked doesn't mean baked 100%. Baked just simply means it needs to break off easily. Okay? And that's our definition for matzah and for lach metoda. Itmar. Okay, a discussion on the Gemara, which we've seen already a number of times. Not the first time we're seeing it, although the Gemara here is going to give us a little more analysis of this. Toda sheshach v'ashmonim chalos. Okay, you have a carbon toda, and instead of bringing 40 loaves of bread, you bring in 80 loaves of bread. Now, we've already pointed out 40 loaves of bread is an excessive amount of bread. Now, it's not excessive because the Torah says that's how much you bring. So, I can't call it excessive, but it's a lot. Right? It's a tremendous amount. One mincha typically is made up of one isaron. Your 40 loaves of bread for your carbon toda is made up of 20 esronim. So it's 20 times greater than what your normal mincha is. And this guy over here says, you know what? 80 loaves of bread. I'm going to bring 80 loaves of bread. Twice as much as he needs. Obviously, this takes us to issues like bal tosef, meaning you're adding to what the Torah says. So the Gemara over here is not going to discuss this in the context of bal tosef. The Gemara just has a much simpler discussion is, does it get kedusha? Does this bread, which is 40 more than what he needs, does it get kedusha? So the Gemara presents what seems to be a machlokus. Chizki amar kichu arbay mitoch shmonim, Rabbi Yochanan amar lo kadosh arbay mitoch shmonim. Okay, to amarayim, Chizki says that 40 of the 80 will get kedusha, and Rabbi Yochanan says 40 of the 80 will not get kedusha. Okay, now, yeah, and then obviously, right, the question of which one, a question of Breira. But even before we do that, the Gemara is going to say, at the surface it looks like there's a big machlokus over here. The Gemara says it's really not a big machlokus. Amar Rabbi Zera, hakomodim hechad amar liktushu arbay mitoch shmonim kichu. Look, let's start off like this. The guy knows, right? I know what a carbon toda is. Carbon toda is 40 loaves. I'm bringing 80. We talked about this guy earlier. This guy's a nervous person, right? He's not sure. 40 loaves, one of them may go bad. Look, we learned that even if one of the 40 is not good, you lose all 40. So a little insurance policy. So I'll bring 40 and I'll bring 40 more. But I know that you only need 40. I'm only looking to be Mekadesh 40 of the 80. Okay. Everyone agrees. Haklamodim, everyone would agree. He's good. Meaning 40 of the 80 loaves that will actually have Kedusha.
He didn't specify which, right?
He didn't. You're right. He didn't. And
he just put 80
out there, and he said, "I know. I only need 40." Okay. Al yiktushu arba'im elaim im ken yiktushu shmonim. And let's go to the other extreme, where he says, oh, "No. 40. I'm going to do 80. Right? I want 80. I want 80 loaves of bread. Right? I'm a bigger guy. I got a big family. I invite. Look at my guest list. I've got coming to this carbon toda party." Right? 80 loaves. I'm telling you, 80 loaves. So look, Lokichu. So again, and once again, everybody agrees that it's not Mekadesh because the Torah doesn't say 80, the Torah says 40. Okay. So we have now seriously modified the whole machlokes between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. On the two extremes, there's no disagreement. If he says 40 of the 80, they're Kadosh. If he says 80 of the 80, they're not Kadosh. Keep Ligi. So now, we're going to reduce the entire machlokas. When do they argue? Bistama. Where he doesn't say anything. He just simply brings 80 loaves and without specifying. Mar savar lachrais kamechavein or mar savar lakarban gadol kamechavein. And now the machlokas between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan is, what is he thinking? Meaning, again, I know we can ask him, what are you thinking? But if we don't know what he's thinking, what's our default position regarding what is he thinking? So, the one who says that 40 of the 80 become Kadosh says that he's a nervous man. And the other 40 are just insurance policies. Achrayus kamechavein. He's only interested in achrayus, meaning just in case something happens to the first 40, I got my backup. And the other mandamer, which is Rav Yochanan, says, no, karban gadol kamechavein. He wants to redefine the karban. He doesn't want to bring 40, he wants to bring 80. And we'll say to him, look, Torah gives the specifications. You can't redefine it. It's nothing.
Nothing.
Okay. So that is one way of understanding the machlokes between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan. What is our assumption regarding his default position of what he was thinking? Abaye Amar Dukuleyama Lem Carbon. Right. Question of the Girsa. Dukuleyama Le Carbon Gal Dukamechave. So everyone subscribes to the principle that he's bringing 80. It's because he wants to be a big guy. He wants to be. I'm not a 40 loaf guy. I'm an 80 loaf guy. Not because I'm nervous. Not because of insurance policies. I'm bigger. I'm a larger living individual. I live large. So uvekliyshart mekajin shalomidas kamefugi. And the issue over here, the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, I didn't mean Reish Lakish, the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Chizkiah is klishares. Is there like an autopilot to the klishares? Right? Are we, you know your pilots, when they fly the plane, so more often than not, they put the plane into autopilot and, you know... take it easy. One of our friends here in the shul, who made Aliyah, he's a pilot. So anyway, is there like an autopilot to the klisharis? Meaning, can the klisharis navigate through the mincha? Meaning, look, you only need 40. You don't need 80. You brought 80. Again, you live large. Okay, good for you. But in other words, it's what's giving kedusha to the bread. So again, we're talking about the carbon toda. So the real answer to that question is the shechita of the carbon. But still, in other words, shechita only works if it's in the klisharis. It's got to be in the klisharis. Can the klisharis navigate? And can the klisharis basically say, "Look, we only need 40. We, the klisharis, I know I'm animating to something which is inanimate." But that's basically what the Gemara is doing. We, the Kli Sharis, understand that you only need 40. So we're only going to be Mekadesh 40 of the 80. So the Gemara says that's the machlokes between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. Over Kli Sharis Mekadesh Shalom Midas come in for the Gemara. So over Kli Sharis Mekadesh Shalom Midas. Gemara says over Kli Sharis Mekadesh Shalom Midas. So that's the machlokes. And Chizkiah takes the position that your Kli Sharis can do that. It can navigate. It can basically say, we only need 40, we're only going to be Mekadesh 40. And Rav Yochanan says, no, Kli Sharis is an inanimate object. Yes, it does imbue things with Kedusha, but not on its own. If you're putting 80 loaves in, that's it. 80 loaves, and 80 loaves is 2 times more than what you need. Okay, so that's another way to explain the Machlokas. Rav Papa Amar Dekule Amar Kli Sharis Mekadesh and Shalom Midas. So Rav Papa would give a third explanation now to this machlokas of Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan. And that is, he's of the opinion that a Kli Sharis works afilu shalom idas, meaning there is an autopilot to the Kli Sharis. V'hacha v'sakin kemifligim, marsav v'sakin mekadeshes ke Kli Sharis, or marsav v'sakin kemindales le'toch ena mekadeshes ke Kli Sharis. Okay? And the issue is like this. Kli Sharis do have an autopilot switch, and a Kli Sharis can navigate. That's true. But here, as I mentioned just a moment ago, what is really giving the Kedusha to the Lach Metoda? It's not really the Kli Sharis. It's the Shechita. So now, the instrument that's really giving Kedusha to everything is the knife. So now, how do we look at the knife? If it was the Kli Sharis that's giving the Kedusha, it's Mekadesh Afilu Shalom Midas. It's an autopilot. It can navigate. It can just basically say we're only going to be Mekadesh 40 of the 80. But now we're talking about the knife. Is a knife have that same ability? That's the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Chizkiah. Chizkiah would say, yeah, Kli Sharis just like, I'm sorry, knife is just like the Kli Sharis. It can navigate. And Rav Yochanan will say, no, the knife is not like the Kli Sharis. One more. Iga da amre, Rav Papa amre, de kol amre, Kli Sharis, and Mekadesh and Ela Midas. V'hacha b'sakin kemifligim marsav v'sakin alima mikli sharis da'afagav d'leth le'toch mikadesha umarsav v'sakin lo alima le mikli sharis. Okay, the fourth way of explaining it is that a kli sharis does not navigate. Kli sharis does not navigate, but maybe a knife is better. Maybe the knife is better than a kli sharis. The Gemara doesn't really provide a svara, an argument in terms of why the knife is better. Perhaps the knife can be viewed as like an... This is just me suggesting. I don't know if this is correct, but I'm just simply providing some understanding of the Gemara. It could be that the knife is viewed as an extension of the person who's holding the knife, meaning the knife is more like an instrument. Kli Sharis is a bowl. It just simply holds things. So a Kli Sharis can't navigate. It can't say, well, we only need 40 of the 80. But a knife, however, being used as an instrument, it's like tool of the Kohen, so maybe the knife is better. The Gemara's terminology is alima. It's stronger than the Kli Sharis, and the knife can, in fact, I don't mean this literally, but basically dissect its way through the loaves. Meaning we only need 40 of the 80 loaves? Fine. The knife, by shechting the neck of the animal, is only being mekadesh 40 of the 80 loaves. Okay. Another suggestion as well. Okay?
Is that like by getting where, let's say if somebody gives a get with a sow is like his hand.
Right. Extensions, right? Right, Gago, Karfifo, right, it's Kiyado. Okay, so maybe it's like an extension as well. Again, this is not Gemara terminology. This is me suggesting something in the Gemara. I'm not sure if I'm right, but you understand. It's, you know, something along those lines. Okay? So again, a person brings 80 loaves of bread instead of 40, twice as much as he needs. We know that there's a machlokes between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan, whether or not 40 of the 80, in fact, have a Kedusha. And their Gemara had no less than 4 ways of understanding the machlokas between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan. Either it's a question of what is Kavanah was, or it's a question of is there an autopilot feature of the Kli Sharis, or is there a question of maybe there is an autopilot feature of the Kli Sharis, but maybe there's no autopilot by the knife, or maybe, fourth, there's no autopilot by the knife, sorry, there's no autopilot by the Kli Sharis, but there is in fact an autopilot by the knife. The knife can in fact navigate. Okay? And machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Chizkiah, the Rambam goes like Rav Yochanan, as you would suspect, meaning Rav Yochanan is usually the accepted position.
So it's not acceptable?
Right, the Gemara says not acceptable.
Like Rav Yochanan and,
and which explanation Rav Yochanan? You have to look inside. Right, the notes indicate that's Rabbi Zera, the first one, meaning it's a question of what his kavana was. Okay, a little bit back to Pigel. All right, before we start this next Mishnah, let me just point out the irony of what's about to happen. Okay, what we've learned now is that in order for the bread of the Lachmei Torah to get to receive Kedusha, Kedusha Zaguf, so it happens by the shechting of the Karban Todah. Okay? And what we've also learned up until now is that if I shech the Karban Todah shelo lishma, with just simply not for the intention of the Karban Todah, so again, the carbon's fine. You're detached from the carbon, and the bread is not imbued with Kedusha. Okay, good. The irony which we're about to stumble upon as we go into the next Mishnah is that if I shech the carbon Todah with more serious offenses, meaning a shalom lishma, okay, that's not good. Right? And I'm not saying it's good, it's not. Right? You have to have the intent of the carbon in mind. You fail to do that. But it's not as bad as pigel, right? Machshav is pigel, chutzos mano, chutzim komo. And meanwhile, what we're about to learn in the next Mishnah is that if I shech the Karban Todah with that kind of intent in mind, the bread is imbued with Kedusha. So it's an irony that the shalom lishma somehow doesn't imbue bread with Kedusha, and something as more severe and more extreme as pigel does imbue. Okay, and as we go through the Mishnah, as we go through the Gemara, we'll give some sort of understanding of why that should be. Shechta chutzos mano, v'chutzim koma. If I shecht with either one of my two classic machshavas of either wrong time, wrong place, so the Karban Torah must be eaten today and tonight. That's it. So I say to everyone there as I'm shechting the Karban Todah, now it's not me shechting, I'm not a Kohen, but I say I'm shechting it so that we can eat it 3 days from now. Or in the case of Todah, even 2 days from now. Okay, so that's pigel. Classic example of pigel. Or chosim koma. Right, we're going to go back to Beit Shemesh, we're going to eat it in Beit Shemesh. Now we all love Beit Shemesh, but it's not Yerushalayim. And it's chosim koma. So, says the Mishnah, Kidesh HaLechem. The Lechem is imbued with Kedusha. Okay? And you realize right away, well, how did that work? You just did one of the more serious offenses of the Torah in creating pigel. It's an Isser Kares. Again, not for doing it. The Isser Kares comes about by eating it, but still, it's a serious offense. And for the Shelo Lishma, the Lechem is not Mekudesh. And for this, the Lechem does have Kedusha. I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question. Torah says not to do it, but it is a lavsha.
Oh, remember the machlokes if you do it.
It's a lavsha in. It's a lavsha in b'masa. It's. I mean.
It says that.
It is and it isn't.
You make a tana, you get machlokes.
Good. You know what? Let's just leave it. I don't know. It's a good question, and or it may not be a good question. I just simply could be a lack of my total ignorance. But anyway, okay. How about this? How about you shecht your Karban Todah? Okay, nothing bad in mind, right? You're good. And then it turns out the animal's a trefa. You didn't know this, but once you open up the animal and you look at the organs inside, and oh my gosh, the animal was a trefa, which means the animal wasn't kosher, but also means that this condition obviously was a pre-existing condition. You didn't know about it. So, lo kiddush alechem. The lechem is not imbued with kedusha. Now that makes, right, if I'm allowed to say this, that makes perfect sense.
Right.
Because that means that when I shecht the animal, it wasn't a good shechita. The animal wasn't fit to be eaten. Shecht the v'nim says balas mom. Now how about this one? You shecht your Karban Todah and you find out that it was a blemished animal. Now, mind you, a blemish on an animal is a physical... let's use the word blemish because that's what it is. It's a physical blemish which is external. It's not internal. Mumim are things which are visible to the eye. So really, a proper inspection of this animal should have revealed this even before we shechted it.
Is that, I mean,
A mum is not thinking of trefa? I mean,
no, trefa is an internal organ being punctured, ruptured, or severed.
I thought like trefa is like both.
You're not going to see. You're not going to see the animal being a trefa. Trefa is only discovered only after upon shechting it. You can pierce it from the outside, and basically, in other words, stab it in its stomach, and you'll know then that it's a trefa. But generally speaking, that's not how it works. It works because you shecht it, and then after, when you opened up the animal, you see that it was severed. One of the internal organs was severed. A mum is a blemish which is external. And in theory, you should have looked at it, you should have seen it beforehand. But for whatever reason, you didn't notice it beforehand, and you shechted it. So listen to this. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Kiddush. So Rabbi Eliezer says the bread has Kedusha. Now, how does that make sense? Okay, stay tuned. The Chachamim Amrim Lo Kiddush. Then the Chachamim take the position, which again is more mistaber. It seems more logical. That, no, in other words, the animal is not a carbon. It's a blemished animal. So stay tuned, because we have to understand Rabbi Eliezer. We may not subscribe to his position, but you got to understand it to some degree. So stay tuned. The Gemara later on will discuss this. Shachta shelo lishma v'chein el meluin v'chein shnei kivsei atzeres shachta shelo lishman lo kiddush alechem. And then the Mishnah punctuates. Now we knew this already, because the Gemara taught this to us already, that if I shecht a carbon todah shelo lishma, the bread is not imbued with kedusha. Okay. Masnis and mani Rabbi Meiri d'tanya. So now we have so far seen our Mishnah. Here we go a little bit complex, because it's going to be machlokus within a machlokus. We've seen the structure already many times, meaning that the later Tanaim, in this case Remeir and Rav Yehuda, will be arguing about what the machlokus is between earlier Tanaim. Okay? So it really is a machlokus Tanaim in a machlokus Tanaim. Okay. So, Masisa Mani Rav Meiri. So our Mishnah, after going through the whole Braisa, you'll see, it's going to be clear, that our Mishnah subscribes to the Rav Meir viewpoint of the Machlokas, not to the Rav Yehuda viewpoint of the Machlokas, a Machlokas we have not yet seen. Okay, but our Mishnah subscribes to Rav Meir. Even before we go any further, you know the rule, Stam Mishnah ka Rav Meir, that when you have a Mishnah, so the Mishnah follows generally like Rav Meir, so it makes sense. It makes sense that our Mishnah is subscribing to Rav Meir. Did Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Zeh Akla, Kol She Pisula Kodem Shechita Lo Kiddush Alechem, Pisula Achra Shechita Kiddush Alechem. Okay, let's go with the general rule. And the general rule makes a lot of sense. If the Psul, if the disqualification takes place post Shechita, bread is imbued with Kedusha. If the disqualification takes place before Shechita, bread is not imbued with Kedusha, because the whole trigger that gives the bread Kedusha is the shechting of an animal. So if it's a good Shechita, so the bread's going to be imbued with Kedusha. Let's go through some simple examples. Shechta chutzah zman v'chutzah kona kiddush alechem. If you shecht with a machshava pigol, kiddush alechem, the lechem is kadosh. You see what the Gemara just did? It's very interesting. Pigol is a post-Shechita problem. Okay, it will take some time for myself and for, I guess, everyone here to just, you know, to chew on that and to really digest that. But pigel is a post-Shechita problem. It's not a pre-Shechita problem. Now, I know, in other words, and this is what takes time to digest, that the time that you're actually rendering the animal pigel is actually at Shechita itself. But nevertheless, the Gemara calls it a post-Shechita problem, because remember, with pigel, right, we spent a lot of time talking about this. You keep going. By pigol, meaning, after you shechta with a machshava chutzas mano, in order for pigol to register, you need to finish the process. You need to, again, then go to Kabbalah Sadam, and then you need to go to the Holach, and you need to do Zrika. You need to finish the process. So pigol doesn't actually register until you finish the process. So it is a post-shechita condition. Pigel. Good. Again, think about it. Take some time with it. Huh?
Not because that you can always change your machshava just before the Shechita?
I don't think so. I think it has more to do with the fact that you still simply have to go on.
There was a machlekes tanaim as to whether if you did the Shechita with machshava pigel, then you did all the other avodas without machshava.
It's not a machlokes. That's not a machlokes. You need to do that. You need to complete the whole system, the whole avoda, in order for pigel to register. Okay, again.
So just if somebody eats from the animal before the zirika is done, there's no problem?
It's not. Well, the avoda wasn't done yet.
Right. Wasn't completed, but it's not pickle.
It's not pickle. Correct. That's correct. So chutzim zmanu v'chutzim kamo kiddush alechem. Shechta v'nimtzas treifa. Now, if you shecht it and the animal turns out to be a treifa, lo kiddush alechem. That's a pre-shechita problem because the animal's a treifa and you only discovered it after you shecht it. But so what? It was a treifa before you shecht it. That's a pre-shechita problem. Shachta, we're on the top now. Shachta of the name says balas mom. So, what if you shachta and you discovered that was a bal mom? So, Rabbi Elazar Amar Kiddush, Rabbi Yoshua Amar Lo Kiddush, Divrei Rabbi Meir. So, here's the machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Elazar says it's kadosh, and Rabbi Yoshua says it's not kadosh. Now, having a mom, by the way, you would say, as I would say, that's a pre-shechita condition. Right? Probably it was blemished beforehand. The Gemara later on will be bothered by this, meaning how can there be a machlokus on this issue? Okay. All this is according to Rav Meir. Okay? If you match up what we just learned in the Braisa to our Mishnah, it's a perfect match. Okay? And that was the whole point of the Gemara, that our Mishnah follows like Rav Meir's version. Now we're going to be introduced to new information. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is going to disagree in terms of what the disagreement is between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. And again, you'll see that our Mishnah doesn't follow like Rabbi Yehuda. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, lo nechluku Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, al sheshachtim nimtza treifa, shelo kidesh. Look, on the discovering the animals of treifa, everyone agrees. That's a pre-shechita condition. The bread is not imbued with kedusha. Achutzazmano shekidesh, and chutzazmano pigol is a post shechita condition, and the bread will be imbued with kedusha. Abamum shelo kidesh, and what about the bamum? Bamum is the bread is not kadosh. Bamum is a pre shechita condition, and so therefore the bread is not going to be imbued with kedusha. So far according to Rav Yehuda, it actually works out a little bit better just in terms of logic, because the Balmum is what we expect it to be, a pre-shechita condition. But before I say Rav Yehuda's position is more logical, then there's this. Ama nechleku, achusim kamo. Where is there a debate? When I have a machshav of chusim kamo. Now, chusim kamo, as I've said many times before, is like the cousin of chutzuzmano. So and they're close cousins, not distant cousins. So you have to wonder if chutzuzmano imbues the bread with kedusha, shouldn't chutzim kamo do the same thing as well? Okay, that's why I'm saying that
chutzuzmano is worse.
And Hedy is 100% correct. Chutzuzmano is worse because it creates pigol, which is with an iser kares. Chutzim kamo. Also, what we call pigle, but not with kares. Okay. Sherebi Elazar Amar Kiddush, Rabbi Yoshua Amar Lo Kiddush. Now, Rabbi Eliezer says that it's kadosh, meaning Rabbi Elazar says, chutzim kamo, chutzim zmano, same. And Rabbi Yoshua says, no, the bread does not have kedusha. Now, I'm Rabbi Eliezer, ho, v'chutzim zmano, pasam, chutzim kamo, pasam, chutzim zmano, kiddush, chutzim kamo, kiddush. So Rabbi Eliezer starts off with a very straightforward argument, which is, chutzuzmano and chutzum kamo are the same thing. So if you're telling me that chutzuzmano a machshava will give the bread kedusha, so shouldn't chutzum kamo do the exact same thing? So that's where we start off the discussion. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yoshua. Hol v'chutzum kamo pasol ubamum pasol ma bamum lo kiddush af chutzum kamo lo kiddush. So Rabbi Yoshua says, yeah, but what about the bamum? Bamum, it doesn't imbue the bread with kedusha, so neither should chusim kamo. Between us, it's a difficult argument to hear. Meaning, what relationship is there with an animal being blemished and a machshava of chusim kamo? It's just difficult. It's hard to hear that argument. The Gemara continues. Amar lo Rabbi Eliezer, ani dimisul chutzuzmano, v'ata dimisul bamum. Nira lemidoma. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, I made a comparison, you made a comparison. Let's see whose comparison is better. Im doma lechutzuzmano, nidonim lechutzuzmano. Im doma lebamum, nidonim lebamum. And whichever comparison is better, so that's going to be the winner of this debate. Hischov Rabbi Eliezer Ladun. So Rabbi Eliezer starts off the debate. Rule number one in debating, don't be the first one. Okay, I don't know who's on. Yeah, if anyone was on a debate team, I was not. Don't be the first one offering your opinion in the debate, okay? Because at least we see in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara could be presenting it after the fact, but from here, it doesn't seem that way. In other words, right, Hischo Rabbi Eliezer Ladan. Rabbi Eliezer got the first turn of arguing. Now again, to me, and I'm just offering my own opinion for whatever it's worth, right? It makes Rabbi Eliezer makes perfect sense, right? Aren't we going to compare chutzim koma to chutzim zmano? They're both machshavas, right? That it's mistaber, it's logical. So his chorab Yoshua dun danim psul shein bokaris mi psul shein bokaris va'yichir chutzim zmano shu psul sheish bokaris. So Rabbi Yoshua says number one. No, because chutzim mano, that's kares, right? That's a serious offense. Chutzim koma, although it disqualifies the animal, if you eat a karban that went through chutzim koma, it's not nisa kares. Okay. V'od, nidonena mishalalu shmo shepsu machshava v'im bokares, we're gonna make a precedent. I'm sorry. Let's go back to the shelo lishmo, where it's a psul machshava, and there's no kares, right? And what happens? The bread is not imbued with kedusha. Okay. Shasak Rabbi Eliezer. Now, again, I don't fully understand this, but Rabbi Eliezer is quiet. He has nothing to retort. He has nothing to answer back. Right, it seems from the conclusion of the Brice that Rabbi Yoshua won the debate. Although, again, from my very, very limited standpoint and perspective, I don't quite frankly understand why Rabbi Eliezer lost the debate. Right, Rabbi Eliezer is making a very sound argument. Okay, but that's just me talking. Okay, Rabbi. Okay, good. Adkan. That is the Brice. That's the end of the Brice. It was a long Brice. There are two versions of the machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. There's the Rabbi Yehuda version, and then there's the Rabbi Meir version, and our Mishnah subscribes to the Rabbi Meir version. Okay. Gemara. Rabbi Meir, Maishna, Shachta, Menimsa, Trefa, Davi, Psula, Kodim, Shchita, Maishna, Shachta, Menimsa, Bamum, Delo, Havi, Psula, Kodim, Shchita. So the Gemara now asked a question, which I told you the Gemara was going to ask, because it's such an obvious question. What's the difference between a Trefa and a Bamum? By a treifa, we said that's a pre-shechita condition, which it is. But so is a balmum. So whatever conclusion you would have gotten by treifa, which is the bread is not imbued with kedusha, would have been the same conclusion that we would have all come to when it comes to balmum. Yeah. So the Gemara asks the question, and it's an obvious question, and it demands an answer. So the Gemara answers, "Bedukin shabayin v'aliba derabi yakiba damar im alu lo yardu." Oh, we're talking about limited blemishes, right? Minor blemishes. Well, the Gemara says, "Dukin shabayin." I translate as cataracts, right? Something happened with the eye of the animal. Rabbi Akiva says it's a blemish, shouldn't bring it as a karban, but post facto b'di'evin, if you shecht it and put it up on the mizbeach, leave it on the mizbeach.
What do you see with a dukin shabayin? The eyes of a peg or something like that?
Something like that. It would require me to know it. It was a really minor blemish. In your story in Gittin, right when Kamsa bar Kamsa, so the mum, the blemish that he inflicted the animal with was
the lid.
Right, he poked it right in the eye.
In the eye or the lid?
Well, the Gemara has. Oh, I believe the Gemara has two versions. Okay. All right. Emalu lo yardu. So now. Okay, so essentially with this answer, the Gemara is basically saying there's no difference. Treifa is a pre-shechita condition. Bamo is a pre-shechita condition. The only time that there's any argument is going to be when it's a lighter mum, a lighter blemish. Right? Dukin Shabayin according to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yoshua, Kiyama Rabbi Akiva, Emala lo yardo bepsula de gufe. And so, look, Rabbi Yoshua is going to say, look, I'm not even gonna debate with you that we're talking about Dukin Shabayin. I'll agree with you. We're talking about a minor blemish, a cataract of the eye. I give you that. So, and I'll even give you, Look, I'll even go with Rabbi Akiva. If it goes up onto the Mizbeach, don't take it down. Again, I'll give you all that. But we're not having that discussion. Our discussion is the bread imbued with Kedusha? And Rabbi Yoshua's argument is no. Meaning, yeah, if I bring the carbon up onto the Mizbeach, the Mizbeach can tolerate it. That's true. But he asked me the question, should I shecht this carbon? And the answer is unequivocally, no. You should not shecht the carbon. So it's a pre-shechita condition. So Rabbi Yoshua will just simply tell you, yeah, post facto, b'dievet, if you shecht it and you put it on the Mizbeach, yeah, all that's all true. But it's a pre-shechita condition. Plain and simple. So bread is not imbued with Kedusha.
Yeah, but the conditions are not the same. The trefa is doomed to death. The balmum is not.
Right, but both of them are disqualified from the Mizbeach.
Cataract.
That's how he translates it, huh? It marchata sheshachta chutzas mano imalta lo seret chutzim komo. So a chatas, a carbon chatas, where I shechta chutzas mano. Right? Again, we're right. There is a lengthy discussion. Okay, we're going to bypass the lengthy discussion. Right, it is a little bit strange that the Gemara just shifted right to discussing a carbon chatas. That's not our topic of discussion. Our topic of discussion is a carbon todah. So, if you look at Tosfos on the side, Tosfos actually challenges what the correct gears of the Gemara is. But again, right for now, let's just go with what we have in our Gemara. Chatas sheshachta chutzuzman. If I have a carbon chatas, I shechta chutzuzman. Imalta lo seret. If I put up on the Mizbech, don't take it down. Chutzim koma, but if I shech, chutzim koma. So Rabba Amar Teri, Rabba Amar Lo Seirin. Machlokis Amarayim, whether the Mizbech can or cannot tolerate it. Rabba Kereb Yoshua. Now, Rabba goes like Reb Yoshua, meaning just like Reb Yoshua makes a distinction by chutzim zman and chutzim koma vis-a-vis the bread and imbuing Kedusha with the bread, so too Rabba with an Aleph will say that there's a distinction between chutzas man and chutzim kamo vis-a-vis can the Mizbeach tolerate it. Rabba ke Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabba goes like Rabbi Eliezer, where Rabbi Eliezer made the argument, I don't see the difference, there's no difference. V'hadabei Rabba l'gabed Rabba midahadabei Rabbi Eliezer l'gabed Rabbi Yoshua. Now, just like Rabbi Eliezer eventually capitulated to Rabbi Yoshua, so Rabba capitulated to Rabba. Okay. Iga da'amri, the Gemara brings in a slightly different variation of this discussion. Or, no, even though Rabbi Eliezer capitulated, but Rabbi did not. Why? Because, look, we're talking about the tolerance of the Mizbeach, what the Mizbeach will tolerate. Remember, in the world of Kidesh HaLechem, Shalom Lishmo does not give the bread Kedusha. In the world of what the Mizbeach will tolerate, if I take a carbon, I shech to Shalom Lishmo, and I put up onto the Mizbeach, Mizbeach will take it with open arms. So, it's not the same topic of discussion, so Rabbi says, look, I know Rabbi Eliezer yielded to Rabbi Yoshua, but we're having a different discussion. We're talking about what the Mizbeach will tolerate. I'm not going to yield to you. Okay. One more little piece of Gemara. Amar Shachta Shalal Lishma. Amar Papa Shavakana Didan El Nazir Deshkech Menakid El Amaluin. El Amaluin. Rav Papa just notes and just makes a comment on the Mishnah. Strange Mishnah, says Rav Papa. Right? I say that, of course, respectfully. I mean, more than respectfully. But strange Mishnah. Right? We're now talking about breads that are attached with karbanos. So there's not that many out there. There's the shtei lechem, there's the carbon toda, the el nazir, right? The ram of the nazir, where you have breads attached with it. And then there's the el maluim, the ram that's brought on the inauguration of the Mishkan, which was a one-time historical event. And it's strange that the Mishnah says, Loki shachta shalal lishma. If I shech to shalal lishma v'chein el hamaluim, and also remember the same halacha applies by the inaugural aisle. Okay, it's correct information, but it is a one-time event. Why is the Mishnah talking about the el maluim? And then Rav Papa says, and the Mishnah is not going to talk about the el nazir, which is not a historical event, but, I mean, for us it is, but, in other words, when you have a Beit HaMikdash, so you have Nazir. So it is strange. Vitana didan, and then the Gemara jumps to a defense of our Mishnah, Iker mil sanaka. No, that's where it all started. Meaning, where was the first time that we had this discussion of bread connected with a carbon? Miluim. Iker milsa. That's the main event. So that's our Mishnah, chose the El Miluim, even though historically it never happened again. All right. Ha Nistachim. Let's see if we can get through this next sugya. Shekicha b'kliv v'nimsa zevach pasol im yesh zevach acher yakriv v'mo v'im lav yifsalana b'lina. Okay. Another discussion for this morning about attachments. But here we're going to talk about Nisachim. Now Nisachim are mincha-like. It's like mincha, not exactly like mincha. It's not even exactly like the mincha of the Karban Todah, where there it's actual menachos, meaning it's actually made by menachos. Nisachim, wine, oil, flour, the oil and flour combined, they are attached with a carbon, not physically attached, but legally attached with a carbon. You bring a carbon up onto the Mizbech, you bring the Nisachim as well. The oil, no, let's start with the wine. The wine is poured down the southwest corner of the Mizbech, and the flour and the oil, which is combined together, is burnt in totality on the Mizbech. And this is what's called Nisachim. So the Mishnah says, when is Nisachim imbued with Kedusha? So the Mishnah tells us that, let's say, I put the Nisachim in the Kli, and the Zevach and the carbon becomes disqualified. So you know what you could do? You can detach the Nisachim from this carbon and use it for another carbon. However, the Mishnah ends off by saying, but what if I don't have another carbon to attach it to? So it will be disqualified with Lina by staying overnight. Okay. Amar Ziri. We immediately go to the Gemara. Eina Nesachim is kachin ela b'shchita sezevach. When do Nesachim become kadosh? With the shchita. Now, Ziri, in the context of today's daf, it's very good that we're learning this after having spent all morning discussing the previous sugya. You hear it. Right? It makes perfect sense. By the Todah, when do the Lachme Todah become kadosh? With the shechting of the carbon Todah. So by the Nesachim, Ziri says, same story. When I shecht my carbon, the Nesachim become kadosh. So my time, I'm across. Zevach, unesachim. The Torah says zevach. Now zevach has, it's a double entendre. Zevach is a reference to the carbon, but it's actually talking about the act of shechita. Lizboach. When I shecht my carbon, Nesachim become Nesachim. Meaning it's imbued with Kedusha Saguf. Sounds good. However, our Mishnah that we just learned, Tanan. Hanasachim Shikasha Beklibanim says Zevach Pasal and Yeshevach Acher Yakriva Yimo. Vim Lav Yifsalu Belina. So, our Mishnah says that if the carbon goes bad, you can simply connect it to another carbon. Now, my Lav the Ifsa Beshchita. So the Gemara says, when did the carbon become Pasal? So the Gemara is suggesting, can't you imagine that the carbon became possible with shechita? So the Gemara says, lo, de'ifso b'zrika. So the Gemara says, no, it becomes possible through the act of zrika, but the shechita was fine. Meaning, so, shechita was fine, so consequently, the Nesachim are imbued with Kedusha. Kiman. Kerebi damar sheidvar ma'matir malin zebelo zeb. So the Gemara says, who is all this subscribing to? Meaning, we are now detailing the life of Nisachim. And in the life of Nisachim, so it requires, in order for the Nisachim to be brought, it needs a proper shechita of the carbon and a proper zrika. So we are now suggesting that as long as the carbon had a proper shechita, you're fine. Even though the carbon didn't have a proper zrika. That sounds like Rebbe. We discussed Rebbe already a number of times. Shnei dvar ma'matir malim zeh b'lo zeh. If I have two matirs, one works without the other. So afilu tamer Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon hacham b'mayis kidin kagon shekibol damam b'kos v'nishbach. Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon savalei kavasi davu damer kol ha'om and lizro kizarek dami. So the Gemara says, well, maybe put a couple things together, and you can argue that no, that the both matirin were done. How can you argue that if zrika was not done? Well, you put it into a kli, you're makabel dam, ready to be sprinkled. And Rabbi Shimon agrees with his father, kola ome lizrok kizarik dami. As long as it's ready to be sprinkled, it's like it's sprinkled already. Amar imeja v'chachir yakriv imo. The hammer of chista shemeshi frish l'shem mincha zeh pasul l'shem mincha acheres. The Mishnah says that you could take nesachim, and if something happened with this carbon, just simply detach it and attach it to another carbon. Right? Okay. But chista says you can't do that with oil. If I have oil and I attach it to one mincha, I can't say, you know what? I know this oil is earmarked for this mincha. Let's move this. Let's shuffle it. Let's take the oil and let's connect it to another mincha. You can't do that. So how come by nesachim you could do that, but by mincha you can't do that? Am Rabbi Yanai le based in masna alayhem im hutzrichu v'im lav yulazev achacher. Precondition, right? Le based in masna alayhem. The concept is that sometimes when you imbue kedusha into something, you do so al das beis din, right? With basically a precondition. It's a, if you will, it's not the best way to say it, but a prenuptial agreement, right? Over here, though, we're not talking about nuptials, we're not talking about marriage, but it's a precondition agreement made when I imbue nesachim with kedusha. The understanding is, if I don't need it for this, I'll use it for something else. So if we're going to go with that concept, you can use it for oil as well. Shemen gufa de mincha hu. So the Gemara says no, because shemen is really part of the mincha. I can't just simply say, oh, I don't need it for this. No, shemen is really part and parcel of the mincha. So the Gemara says, okay, but look, why don't we just simply make the condition like this? If I don't need the oil, so it'll just go chulin. So the Gemara says, because think about it, the casual observer who's sitting there in the Azara watching the Kohen work, watch the oil get poured into a Kli Sharis, and then we just take it out and we use it for our, we take the oil home with us, and right, what just happened over there? And he, the casual observer, won't understand the subtleties of Leiv based in Masna Aleihem, and it's... So we don't want that. So the Gemara says, okay, Hashanam, Xer Shami Yamun Nesachim, Shifrish Lashem Zevach Zev, Kshem Lashem Zevach Acher. So the Gemara says, if you're worried about the casual observer, so watch, the Nesachim, we'll use it for this carbon. Oh, this carbon's no good? We'll use it for another one as well. Why are we worried about that casual observer? Hatani Matasya Ben Yehuda, Kigon Shaya Zevach Zevuach, Ba'oso Sha'ah. I can only reassign Nesachim if there's another carbon right there. So the Gemara says, okay, now what you're basically saying is that if there's not another carbon there and available, the Nesachim are disqualified. Okay, why did the Mishnah make that point? Which is a much sharper point to make. So the Gemara says, so why did the Mishnah make that point, which is a sharper point to make? So the Gemara says, Hachinami Ka'amar. Okay, now that we know this, we will now say that is the Pshat in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, okay, we will say that in fact is a pshat in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Rav Shimon really subscribed to Lei Beis Din? That Beis Din can make preconditions? Rav Idi Bar Ben Amar, Rav Amram, Amar, Rav Yitzchak, Amar, Rav Yochanan, Temidim Shelo Hutzrichu Letzibor. I have a carbon tamid which we don't need anymore. Now, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says we're talking about end of the year. Remember, we had a warehouse of four carbonos. And by the end of the year, four or six. Right? And there were just six animals left over at the end of the year. And I don't need them anymore. And so I don't need them anymore. So what do I do with them? So Ledivre Rabbi Shimon ain't niftin tamimin. Ledivre Chachamim niftin tamimin. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, you can't be po to them. And the Chachamim say, no, if you don't need them, you can be po to them. Either carbonos karbanos are not redeemable. So according to the Chachamim, leiv beis d'matan aleihem, precondition went into the sanctification of the animal. But the important thing to notice is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says you can't redeem them. Wait a second, Rabbi Shimon, didn't we just say that you subscribe to leiv beis d'matan aleihem? Shani hasam dis leiv takanta biraya. So the Gemara says, no. Generally speaking, Rabbi Shimon does subscribe to Leiv Beis Din. Here, by the carbon, which was designated as a carbon tamid, so there's a solution.
Wait till it gets a blemish.
It's not a fantastic solution, but at least there is a solution. By Nesachim, there is no alternate solution, so then we're going to say Leiv Beis Din Matan Aleihem.
Okay.
Correct. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. The learning that we do this morning will be for a Refuah Shlema for
Binyamin Zev
HaKohen,
Ben Shalom
Rivka, Eloi Nishmas, Moshe Ben Pinchas HaKohen, Hashem Shav Ben Aliyah. Rabbi Chanan Ben Akash Ma'at Zekosh Baruch Hu Zab Yisrael V'yav Minyan, V'yich Acher B'am Torah Mitzvah, Shenema Anai Chafetz Amantzikoh Yagdut Rav Yadir.